Morning, everybody. I'm going to talk to you today about the importance of having a good foundation. And I know most of us here have been walking with the Lord a long time, but it's really good sometimes to step back and look again. How's our foundation? You know, how do we assess it? So several years ago, I completed a year-long devotional with Charles Spurgeon. Some of you may know him, a mighty man of God, has written some wonderful things. And as I think back over it, I identified some themes that he emphasizes in a variety of ways, and I'm going to talk about some of those this morning too. One is hearing God. And Michael's funny. He identified me as somebody that's one of my main things I talk about is hearing God, because truly that's part of the most important things for us to really learn to identify his voice and hear him. Peter Lord says, again, very, very important, and I agree with that. In one devotional, Spurgeon refers to the book of Ruth and the story of Naomi and the two daughter-in-laws, Orpah and Ruth. And if you recall this story, after Naomi's husband and their husbands were killed, Naomi released them to leave her and go back to their previous lives in hopes of finding other families. Their reactions were very different. Orpah chose her previous life and the tribe that were known to her, but not what God had. So she went with what was familiar to her. They were comfortable, but they were ungodly. But Ruth, on the other hand, went forth into the unknown with Naomi, honoring Naomi and trusting God. Look at the two differences there. One retreated back to what was comfortable and was known. The other one stepped forward to honor God and what was unknown and probably pretty frightening. She didn't know what was ahead. Which had the stronger foundation? Well, Ruth did. She knew God would protect and provide for Naomi and herself, even though it was hard. She was willing under God's leading to take the risk. Lately, I've been thinking about scriptures that have meant a lot to me in my life, and there are really four passages. The Bible is wonderful and throughout, but there's four in particular that have been meaningful to me. The first one is John 3:16, which we all know. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The other one I really like and was first introduced to probably back in Sunday school, and it was probably the very first scripture I memorized, and that was, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," Psalm 23, right? And then, as I've gotten older, I've come to become very, very fond of Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding, because I have a tendency to want to lean on my own understanding. And it goes on to say, "In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path." That scripture is on our headstone of our family plot down here in the Micanopy Cemetery. And on the back is my other favorite passage, and it's longer, and I'm going to read it to you. Psalms 91. "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler, from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust his truth, shall be the shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, or the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at my side, and 10,000 at my right hand, but it shall not come near. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High my habitation, there shall be no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he will give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up with their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he has sent his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him." That's the Lord speaking there. "I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him, honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and shew him my salvation. There's a lot in that scripture that's so important. And if we take that to heart, there's nothing that should scare us. I mean, we trust in the Lord. He's going to take care of us. Maybe the Lord's speaking to you right now about something that you've been resisting because it's outside of your comfort zone. Maybe something he wants you to do. He may be somebody he wants you to speak to. It's out of your comfort zone and you've been resisting it. The tendency is for us to be comfortable. God's called us out of that. The fact is, over a lifetime, we'll experience lots of hard things. And how we handle them has a lot to do with our foundation. If we have a strong foundation, we can handle the hard things. So, what is a foundation? Webster's 1828 dictionary says, the basis or groundwork on which anything stands and by which it's supported. Jesus Christ is the foundation of our church. If we ever get away from that, we have missed the mark. 1 Kings 5:7, and the king commanded, and they brought great stones, costly stones, and huge stones to lay the foundation of the house. Isaiah 28:16, therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. And then finally in Luke 6, starting in verse 47, everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you what he's like. He is like a man building his house who dug deep and laid the foundation upon rock. And when a flood came, the stream broke against that house and could not shake it because it had been well built. But he who hears and does not do, it's like the man who's built his house on the ground without a foundation, against which the stream broke, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. So the foundations are very, very important. Obeying God is like building a house that's strong with solid rock. And this is interesting. When life is calm and everything seems to be going well, we don't think much about our foundation, right? When the winds aren't blowing. But when crises come, foundations are tested, and we must be sure our foundation is built on Jesus. Peter tells us that the trial of our faith is much more precious than gold that perishes through, though it is tried by fire. It's the testing of our faith that's more precious than gold that perishes. But true, genuine faith in Jesus will last forever. If you think of great athletes, right, they have to practice hard. I just saw somebody interviewed on TV, and she's running, one of her goals is to run a half marathon in each of the 50 states. And she's already done 11 of them. But think about that. In order to do that, you have to really train, right? And be in good shape. We must both listen and do the words that Jesus taught us. And one of the best places to learn to apply the word is here in fellowship. And you can't learn and practice your faith unless you're in fellowship. So we have a lot of people missing today. We need to really reach out to them and say, where are you? We miss you. They need to be here. We need to be learning from them also. Another place to apply what's taught about foundations with our families. That's when we're tested probably the most with our families. What's our foundation? How do we react to things? Do we act in God-like ways, Christ-like ways, our flesh ways? Or do we react the way Jesus tells us? So why would people build a house on sand? Think about it. Why would you build a house on sand? Probably because it's easier. Maybe it's more convenient, less expensive. That's like, it's not enough just to hear the word of God. We have to do it. We have to practice it. True Christianity is built on Christ. The building's only as solid as the ground that it's built on. So think about what you're building your life on. And the reason you'll know this is, what do you spend your time thinking about? What do you spend your money on? What's your foundation? Is it Jesus? Is it most important? In John 14:6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." We have a strong ground to stand on. Think about Jesus. He defeated Satan, death, hell, and the grave. And he lives forever. Without him coming to the fullness of time, there would be no hope, no giving of the Spirit, and no rest for the weary. Colossians 2:8 through 10 says, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead boldly, and we are to come in him, which is the head of the principality and the power." All right, think about the foundation of a house. How you build and maintain it has a lot to do with it. So maintaining it's important too. The same is true for our Christian foundation. It determines how functional we are as Christians. Are we able to carry out what God's called us to do? So I have a little example here I'm going to share with you. I looked high and low for blocks, building blocks. We have a children's room at our house. I thought, for sure there's a bin of blocks in there. Then I thought, well, maybe there's some blocks back in the nursery or upstairs. I couldn't find any. I need some for this illustration. So I got creative. I'm going to use Play-Doh cans, and once it's all over, I'll donate them to Sunday school. How about that? So if we're going to build a foundation, and we have five blocks, in this case, five containers, all right, I'm building my foundation. I'm building on top of my foundation. All right, can y'all see this? And there's number five. Okay, I built that in a hurry. How sturdy do you think that is? Okay. Liken that to, I've built it on the foundation of one thing, giving my life to the Lord. But is that enough foundation to withstand storms that come? I don't think so. So now I'm going to have two things. And the two things are, okay, faith and love. We add faith and love to being born again. That's a good foundation. But is it strong enough to withstand everything? I don't think so. Still pretty weak. All right. Then there's three. Your personal relationship, reading the Bible, and attending church. Attending church when it doesn't interfere with your other plans. So there's three. Still not as sturdy as it could be, right? And finally, what we've really been called to do is to put God first, learn to hear the Holy Spirit, having a moment-by-moment daily walk, fellowshipping with other Christians often, and sharing our faith. So those are five things. And with that kind of foundation, we had more jars of Play-Doh. We could build it much, much higher, and it would be much, much sturdier. And that's what God's called us to do. Then I mentioned already, but I'll mention again, sometimes there's cracks in our foundation. And what causes cracks? Well, some of the things are moving away from any of those things we just talked about. Getting too busy to read the word. Not fellowshipping. Not spending time in prayer. Not taking time to hear from God. All of a sudden there are cracks and it can develop into a sinkhole. We have Wakahuta Road that's near here, and I think Wren calls it Wakahuta Road. Is that right, Elmer? Yeah. If you've gone down there, you've seen what's happened over time to the cracks. They've gotten bigger and bigger. They're bigger and bigger potholes. And that's what can happen to our Christian life if we don't pay attention to the things I've just mentioned. What can also cause a crack is flirting with sin. Not necessarily sinning, but thinking about it or compromising in any way. Compromise is a little crack that can suddenly become a big gaping hole if we're not careful. Getting dull to the Holy Spirit's warning. The Holy Spirit tells you not to do something, not listening to it. Dave had a really good example this morning. They were planning a trip to Hawaii, and he had a real check in his spirit that they needed to wait. And that was a God thing. That was Holy Spirit, obviously, because Hawaii ended up having floods, right? And they would have been there during that time. That's an example. And God cares about everything in our lives. He cares about our vacations. He cares about everything. And Jesus had to get away to rest. Resting is important. Another thing that can cause a crack is isolating, especially from other Christians. And then practicing sin. The key to all of this is repentance. We need to ask God to reveal unconfessed sin. Once we recognize it, we need to be really quick to ask his forgiveness. In Acts 3:19 through 21, we see Peter's called the people to repent and turn around that their sins may be blotted out. To repent is to go to the Lord, recognizing you've done wrong, and to ask his forgiveness. Beyond that simple action, repentance is the desire to live your life in accordance with Christ's word and to shun the evil of this world. As long as we live in this world, we're going to be confronted with evil. The enemy, we know, is all around us, trying to cause us to stumble, cause us to fall. We also must forgive other people. If we harbor unforgiveness, that can become a crack in our foundation. Has somebody hurt you and you've just not been able to let it go? It's really, really important. We can also see in Romans 2, 1 through 11, that God's kindness was meant to lead us to repentance, not as a one-time act, but as an ongoing way of life. It's true, we're going to all make mistakes as we continue our daily walk, but God in his great mercy and grace has provided for our mistakes by giving us his forgiveness. If we unwittingly make a mistake after coming to Christ, then recognize our error, we exhibit what's been referred to as godly grief. I am sorry, Lord, godly grief. Please forgive me. That causes repentance and leading to our salvation as we clear ourselves. All right, so what provision has God given us to keep our foundation strong and uncracked? The Holy Spirit. Hearing God, hearing the Holy Spirit, recognizing when those cracks are occurring. So how can you receive the Holy Spirit? It's in one of two ways. The Lord may simply give the Spirit to you as he did the apostles in Pentecost, and also when the Gentiles first received the Holy Spirit. In both of these cases, the Spirit was received accompanied with signs, specifically speaking in tongues, prophecy, and the sounds of rushing wind and fire resting on the apostles. Typically, the sign of tongues shows that a person has received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. If you look at John 3, 5 through 8, Jesus made a point that it was the sound of the Spirit, like the sound of the wind, that provided evidence of the Spirit's presence. The other way is through the laying on of hands with prayer to ask the Lord to give you the gifts of the Spirit. Peter and John used this method when they were sent to Samaria by the church to do the work, so that the people could receive the Holy Spirit. You will see this is a method used by Paul in Ephesus, where he laid hands on a group of about 12 disciples. These are two verses clearly show the disciples who had been baptized did not automatically receive the Holy Spirit, which some people believe occurs. Laying on of hands in prayer was necessary. Do you hear that? Laying on of hands in prayer is necessary to receive baptism of the Holy Spirit. This is shown also in Luke 11:13, where you're instructed to ask the Holy Spirit and he will be given to you. So why should we want to receive the Holy Spirit? God is spirit and we were created because he wants to have fellowship with us. Second, because we are flesh, we do not understand the things of the Spirit unless we have the Holy Spirit speaking to us. And third, although we live in a physical world, we are waging war spiritually, and we do not have the weapons of defense or attack to be able to win the spiritual war. We ourselves cannot do that. The Holy Spirit's there to fight for us. If you are trying to do it on your own, you're not equipped to do that. Ask the Holy Spirit to guide you, to show you. So kind of to summarize the main points I've been making. Each of us needs to spend some time asking the Lord to show us the condition of our foundation. Again, one way to find that out is, what do you spend your time thinking about, talking about, and what do you spend your money on? Pastor at C.R. Smith at Living Faith Fellowship used to always say, you can tell a lot about a person's spiritual condition by how they spend their money. It's true. We have one family member that we're continuing to pray for who spends a lot of his money on golf. Golf is really, really, really important to him. And my prayer is that the Lord will be more important than golf. Much more important than golf. We have to be prepared to work out with discipline to grow. Just like an athlete I mentioned has to exercise, we have to be willing to do the hard work to grow. Accepting Jesus as a Savior is essential. That's just a narrow foundation, like I showed you. One block wide, and it doesn't have a strong, wide support. We need to put God first, to learn to hear the Holy Spirit, have a moment-by-moment daily walk. We need to fellowship with other Christians often and share our faith. I don't know about you all, but every time I share my personal testimony, I get stronger. It makes me stronger. It doesn't really matter if the other person receives it or not. Friday night, Steve and I went to, I'm involved in Campus Crusade for Christ, which is now CRUCE faculty group. I think I've mentioned that to you all before. And I'm on a weekly prayer meeting with them on Tuesday mornings. But we had a get-together at the leader's house Friday night. And we met there with a lot of graduate students. These are international graduate students who are going to graduate from the University of Florida and go back to their countries. One of the ones we sat with was from Ghana. Another one was from Nigeria. We had one there from Croatia, just all different countries. And like I said, they're all planned to go back to their nations afterwards. So we have a chance to minister to them, to share our faith for them, with them, help them have a good foundation before they go back to minister into their countries. I think that's one of the most powerful ministries I can think of. You've got young people, very bright and motivated, to go back and share the word. It was encouraging. Steve and I left there, we were both encouraged. Again, when you get to share your testimony, and they were asking us, we sat at a table with four of them, and one of them said, well, how did you guys meet? And where did you come to know the Lord? And we got to, you know, they asked for our testimonies, which is pretty cool. Steve got to tell them the story about how he was a big, bad guy selling beer in the parking lot of the high school, and they couldn't believe that. But how God can really change a person's life. So, to avoid developing cracks in our foundation, we need to be quick to repent and not sin again. Quick to forgive others, quick to repent. Don't mull on it. If God shows it to you, just do it. Be powered up by the baptism of the Holy Spirit and letting Him work in your life. We are all human, and we're going to make mistakes. Don't beat yourself up for that. We're going to make mistakes. Know that God is merciful. He's forgiving. And the Holy Spirit gives us the strength and the power to do amazing things for the kingdom and to withstand the storms that may come. So God has called us to great work. He's given us the equipment that we need. We just need to receive it. We need to practice it. And we need to be hearing Him. So Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, that You have not left us by ourselves to walk this life alone, that You've given us everything that we need. We thank You for the Holy Spirit. I pray for everyone who hears this message this morning that they could take some time to see where You are, where they are, cracks in the foundation, anything like that, Father. We could, the Holy Spirit, guide us totally, Father. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.